Hey, this is Leo for Actualized.org, and this episode is my AL Lad Trip Report, an amazing new psychedelic tool for consciousness work. Warning, misusing psychedelics can be dangerous and even lethal. The legality of these substances vary by country. The information provided here is for educational purposes only. You agree to take 100% responsibility for any physical, mental, or legal consequences which may result from applying this information. Well, I am continuing my psychedelic research. My journey is not over. And what I have stumbled upon is an amazing new tool that I want to share with you. It really is the perfect companion to 5-MeO-DMT, which I've talked about in the past and I've raved about. Well, let me rave a little bit about AL Lad, and I'm going to tell you about my experiences with it and also some of the profound implications it can have for you if you are really interested in getting to the bottom of truth, what reality is, and you are a serious student of consciousness work. So why do I say that AL Lad is the perfect companion to 5-MeO? Well, 5-MeO is extremely, extremely fast-acting and powerful. This is both its strength and its weakness. It's strong in that it'll take you straight to the absolute truth of everything. But also, its weakness is that it's so fast-acting and it's so powerful that you're going to be afraid to use it. And it's sort of like a nuclear weapon. When you detonate a nuclear weapon, it does a lot of damage very quickly. But then how do you gather up the pieces? How do you then build your everyday life around that? That's a tricky thing. So you can experience something amazing during a psychedelic trip, but then when you come back into everyday reality, did it really change you? That's the important question. And certainly 5-MeO has the potential to change you a lot, but also what I was looking for in my research is a smaller tool, right? I don't always need a sledgehammer. Sometimes I need like a precision screwdriver. And that's what I've found with AL Lad. It's longer, much, much longer than 5-MeO. It's prolonged. It's also very mellow and easy to handle. And yet it's still very profound. And unlike mushrooms, which I've also experimented with, the problem with mushrooms is that they're very twisted and sort of muddy, and you have some amazing insights there for sure. You can. I've had them. But also, they're so distorted that, again, it's really difficult to put it into the context that we're interested in here, which is personal development and growing your consciousness, right? That's really the most valuable tool that I could find is what are the tools that can really help me to change the quality of my consciousness in everyday life, not just during a couple-hour trip. Now, I'm going to tell you a lot about my trip with a lot of details and insights and so forth, and then I'll tell you some pointers for how you can use this for yourself if you're interested in growing your consciousness. But first, a few notes. Let me just be very clear here that I'm talking about psychedelics in the context of personal development and consciousness work. I'm really not interested in drug use for pleasure or recreational reasons. It doesn't interest me at all. Pleasure does not interest me at all. I don't care about pleasure. And I don't care about having a fun time. I do not use chemicals or substances for those purposes. I don't even drink coffee or alcohol recreationally. Or maybe you drink coffee for performance enhancement at work. I don't do that. Okay? Because if I'm going to be using a chemical substance, I want to make sure that I don't use it as a crutch. And that's what becomes a problem with alcohol, with chronic use of marijuana, even with regular coffee. You're using it as a crutch. What I'm talking about here is something very different. I'm talking about a shamanic usage of these substances. And this is something I want to talk more about into the future, because there's something really deep that you find when you study shamanism and you study various traditions from the past, which go back thousands and thousands and thousands of years, that human beings in every continent across the entire globe have been doing this, is they have been using psychoactive plants to transform their understanding of reality and their consciousness and to develop themselves to the highest levels. And for example, the works of Carlos Castaneda are really marvelous here. I've been reading and going deeper into Carlos Castaneda's work because I've been now experimenting with psychedelics myself. So now that puts his work into a different light. And there's a lot of lessons that you really learn from Don Juan, which is the character in Carlos Castaneda's work, who is the teacher, who teaches the wisdom of how to use these plants and the philosophy he has behind him, right? He has a serious intent. He's not fucking around. He's not using these things as toys. This is serious stuff. And it's not always pleasant stuff. It requires a genuine intention to want to grow your consciousness. See? So I'll be talking a little bit about that as I keep going here with my trip report. But really, I should probably do a whole episode on shamanism at some point. It's really interesting to study. So, AL lad. What I did on Monday afternoon is I quickly did all my chores to get it out of the way because I knew that this experience would basically take up my entire day. And then what I did is I sat down for an hour, I meditated, and then I spent 20 minutes setting my intentions for the trip. And my intentions in this case, I was very serious about setting the intentions that I wanted to be growing my consciousness in the specific way that I want to be growing it. It's a little bit difficult to articulate, but at this point, when I set intentions, when I visualize, when I do affirmations, any of this kind of stuff, I'm pretty precise about what I want to get. I look at the things that I need. I look at the things that I know I need to develop in myself, the things that are weaknesses within me. And then those are the things where I set my intentions before I go into the trip. And this makes a world of difference between people who are using these substances to grow themselves in this shamanic sort of way versus people who are just taking these substances and then watching cartoon reruns or going out with their friends to a club or doing something like this, right? It's a totally different experience. In fact, I'm shocked because I read the trip reports of people who use these substances recreationally, and I'm shocked at the difference that I feel, the profound insights that I'm able to get, and then the shallow insights and the shallow results that they're able to get, even though we're taking the exact same substances. How can that be? Well, the intention and why you're doing it, the reasons you're doing this are very important. Of course, your level of development and your level of emotional maturity and also your commitment to metaphysical understanding is very important. I get a sense that a lot of people who take psychedelics don't really have a deep thirst for metaphysical understanding. They just don't care about the truth. So, of course, what they experience ends up being pretty weak. Or even if it's very strong, they can't make sense of it. So anyways, at 4 p.m., I consume orally 150 micrograms of AL-LAD on a half-empty stomach. Now, AL-LAD, this sounds kind of weird. You probably haven't heard of this psychedelic before. What is AL-LAD? It's an LSD analog. So it's similar to LSD, but it has some different characteristics. Firstly, it has a shorter duration. It lasts for about 8 to 10 hours. Really, the peak of it lasts for 6 hours, then it starts to taper off after 6 hours into 8 and 10 hours, and even 12 hours. But LSD tends to last even longer. So it has a shorter duration. It's supposed to be more visual than LSD, which is pretty interesting because if you know anything about LSD, that's reputed to be a very visual psychedelic. So this is more visual. It's also less mindfuck. Mindfuck is the term they use in the psychedelic community basically to refer to how seriously and how deeply will this take you into like shattering your metaphysical foundations and understanding of what reality is. AL-LAD is supposed to really be a party drug. It's not supposed to get you any deep spiritual connection with reality. But, you know, I'm testing this out and I just want to see what it's like. I wanted to find a lighter psychedelic, something that's not so heavy on the mind. And actually, 2 weeks prior to taking this 150 microgram dose, I tested out half a dose. I took 75 micrograms, which is half a dose. And I had a great trip. It was very pleasant and very joyful. And it did feel sort of like a party drug. I was just testing it out. And the first test went successfully, which is exactly how you should consume new substances that you've never tried, is you try a very small dose. It's not enough to, you know, trip your balls out, but it's enough to make sure that you're comfortable and that you don't scare yourself with a large dose. So here I'm doubling the dose to basically what's called a common dose. It's still not a super high dose. So I consume it at 4 p.m. And then what I do is I have a new ritual now with psychedelics, because the last mushroom trip that I had was right after a breakthrough 5-MeO trip. And that mushroom trip was so horrifying and so challenging. It was such a deep mind fuck that it was challenging for me to integrate it, to understand it. And it really kind of put me off of psychedelics for a while. I almost had to take a couple of months off because it was just like I was taking them too frequently. I wasn't integrating enough. So I slowed my pace down. And so my new process here is now, after that mushroom trip and some of the really heavy 5-MeO trips, I actually get anxiety whenever I take a psychedelic. Like, my hands start to shake. I'm nervous. I have these, you know, pre-trip jitters. And then as soon as I take the substance, I'm always in the back of my mind, I'm thinking like, did I do the right thing here? Am I going to be in a world of pain for the next 8 to 10 hours? And so that creates anxiety. And of course, this is a problem with psychedelics, because psychedelics reflect all your thoughts back in on themselves. So if you're starting to feel like, oh shit, I've screwed something up, I'm afraid now, and I have all these fears and all these negative thoughts running through my mind, that's going to create a self-fulfilling prophecy, and you will actually create the bad trip you're trying to avoid or that you're afraid of. So to combat this, what I discovered, and I discovered this with my girlfriend a couple of months back when she was trying some mushrooms, is what we did is we boosted her state, because she was starting to get afraid and I didn't want her to freak out. I wanted to have a pleasant experience, and it was only just 1 gram of mushrooms. So what we did is I made her dance. I just blasted on some fun music, some kind of dancey type of pop music, some just, you know, cheap pop music, basically. And then we just danced for a good 20 minutes and just got our bodies moving and singing and dancing and doing silly things like this just to build up our state. And then by the time you do that, the substance starts to come up, and now you're trying to feel the effects. But that, you know, usually takes about 30 minutes for a substance to start to really take effect on you if you took it on a mostly empty stomach. And you don't want to spend those 30 minutes just sitting there on your couch worrying with negative thoughts. You know, 30 minutes of negative thoughts, that will put you in a bad position for once you really start to feel the effects of the substance. So I did this by myself. I just blasted some good music and I just danced and danced and danced for a good 20 minutes. And then after that, I started to ease into the experience. And by about 45 minutes, I started to feel the effects. It was really coming on and I was getting into it. And then I shut off the music and I just kind of crashed on my couch in my living room. I was in my living room basically the whole time for the duration of this trip. And the thing that you start to feel with AL Lad is this amazing body high. Your body just starts to feel delicious. It just feels so good to be in your body. You become so present and in the moment with your body, and you get these like enhanced tactile sensations. Everything you touch just feels so delicious and velvety and luxuriant. And then you get this like ecstasy kind of going through your body. By ecstasy, I don't mean the drug ecstasy. I mean the emotion of ecstasy. But it's a mild form of body ecstasy. If you want true ecstasy, you need a 5-MeO breakthrough. That will give you true ecstasy, which is the actual being one with God. But here it's just kind of a mild body ecstasy. And for me, this is a significant point because I've been struggling for the past like 5 years of my life where I've just not been feeling right in my body. I've been kind of having fatigue and cold hands and feet and just like feeling like I don't belong in my body, just not feeling fully comfortable. And I've actually been going to doctors and I've been getting some coaching on this to try to figure out what the problem is. Maybe it's my diet. I've been changing my diet. Maybe it's some chemical imbalance. I've been getting some blood work and working on that. But still, like, nothing has been clicking for me. But when I take AL Lad, the most amazing thing is I start to feel like my body is finally clicking and it's working and it's feeling the way it should always feel. Of course, I mean, it feels a lot better than it would normally feel. But it also shows me kind of a preview of what I could work myself towards. See, personal development, when you start to get into the advanced stages of personal development, it's not about what you can have, what you can acquire, how much money you can make. It's not about that. Those things are shallow and they're really not fulfilling. What becomes fulfilling is how you can make yourself feel. How much vitality and energy can you have? How can you interact with other people in a free-flowing and effortless manner? How can you start to feel like your entire life is this magical, beautiful, divine phenomenon? That's what it becomes about. That's really what's amazing. That's really what you want out of life. So the AL ad puts me in touch with that, especially physically in my body. And I start to get this incredible sense of presence and being where I get whisked out of my logistical reality. And by logistical reality, what I mean is that most of my week and your week, and in fact, most of my life and most of your life is logistical reality. Your mind is always busy thinking two steps ahead, like, what should I do tomorrow? And what am I going to do later today? And what about that email I have to send? And, you know, what about paying my electricity bill on time? And what about this problem there? And what about answering this email? And what about my boss? And what about my spouse? And what about answering that text message? So you're in this logistical mode of operating. That's your entire consciousness is so absorbed in that that you don't even know there's an alternative. Well, you take AL-LAD or maybe some other psychedelic, and it really connects you with being. With being. And this is a very simple thing, but man, is it powerful. It's worth way more than all the emails and all the bills you pay and all the stuff you do at work and all the other stupid stuff you do throughout your day and throughout your week. It's worth way more than that. And people sometimes ask me, Leo, being, use this word being. What does being mean? Describe it to me or tell me what you mean. It's really hard because this is something you need to have a direct experience of, which is why these psychedelics can be very powerful tools, because how is someone supposed to explain being to you? It's being. You have to be it to know it. It's hard to explain. It's really hard to put into words. I'll come back to that in a minute. So anyways, I'm in this incredible sense of presence and being. And it also, what's nice about this, it gives you a preview of where you should be going with your meditation practices. Because when you're struggling and you're sitting there meditating for months on end, and you're struggling to calm your monkey down, mind down, and then here all of a sudden, within a couple of hours on this substance, you are given a sort of like the ideal of what you're shooting for. And all of a sudden you're like, oh yeah, that's what I'm doing all my meditation to reach that point right there. And I personally find that invaluable in shaping and catalyzing my meditation practices once I'm out of the trip. So anyways, I'm in this incredible sense of presence and being. My thought stream does something very interesting, was that it becomes very, very slow and steady and just kind of forceful. And it gives me this sense of intellectual power because my thought stream becomes like molasses. Whereas usually it's monkey mind and my mind is kind of all over the place and the thought stream is sort of dispersed into a million different directions. Here it's like a laser beam and I can almost shine it or focus it on any topic that I want to think about. Like I could think about a relationship or I could think about some topic I want to cover for actualize.org or I can think about reality. Or I could think about something I learned from some book that I read. And all of a sudden, the mind becomes this hyper-connected, super-integrated, super-intuitive machine, which just like interconnects all the dots about that particular issue, and you just like see right through it. It's the most remarkable phenomenon, because it's not like you're visually seeing something. You're not seeing unicorns and dancing monkeys and stuff. It's not that kind of psychedelic. I'm sure maybe at higher doses you can get there. But here what I'm talking about is just this sort of like the way the thought stream changes. It's how your consciousness sort of focuses in or dilates in this very interesting way, which you've probably never experienced in your entire life until you've been on this kind of substance before, unless you've been, and then you know what I'm talking about. And this remarkable thing on AL-LAD that I notice is just this effortless, genius level of creativity comes over me, especially early on in the trip. Just like everything creative becomes easy. I'm just like, my mind is just filling with ideas, the most brilliant ideas, ideas that would rival the most brilliant ideas of mankind, right? And they just come to me. You really get the sense, this feeling that creativity is not a human capacity. It's really a divine capacity. It's like the you come in contact with the fountainhead of the muse that is fueling your creative work throughout everyday life. Usually, the bandwidth that you can handle in everyday life, if you're doing something creative like music, art, movies, writing, anything like that, your bandwidth is like this wide. And your muse tries to like put ideas in there, but there's only so much bandwidth, really. It's such a bottleneck. But with AL out here, just like it just opens up monumentally, orders of magnitude, to the point where you feel like a creative genius. And if you sit there with a notebook, you can write pages and pages and pages and pages of the most remarkable stuff. Of course, also, it's sort of state dependent. So when you come back out of the trip and you look at your notes, they might not be as creative as you originally thought, because some of the stuff you realize is so hard to put into symbolic form, into verbal word form, that you really have to cultivate the consciousness and not just write down the ideas. So that's the trick. Also, what I feel is I feel a brain fuzz. So physically, the sensation is almost like I have a bit of a head cold. Like there's this kind of fuzzy feeling to my entire skull, and it feels a little bit weird. You might think it's kind of uncomfortable, but because you have this beautiful body high and you're feeling ecstasy and warmth throughout your entire body and your thoughts are doing these amazing, beautiful things and you're experiencing this sense of consciousness that you probably haven't experienced since you were a child, the head fuzz really is not a big deterrent. Now, ALAD is supposed to be very visual. What I've discovered so far on these dosages, which is a pretty decent dose here, is that I get very little visuals. Almost no visuals. About as much as I would get on mushrooms, even probably less. Which surprised me because most people talk about ALAD having more visuals than LSD. But that's not a problem because of all the other amazing stuff that you experience here. I do understand why people talk about this as sort of a party drug, because it's very, very mellow and smooth. It comes up very smooth. There's no nausea. There's no discomfort, at least for me. I don't know how it is for other people, but I'm just talking about what I experienced. It's just like positivity all the way. If you were going to do a psychedelic for your first time, I would definitely recommend that you do something that would give you a positive experience rather than freak the hell out of you. And this looks like a pretty good candidate. So I'm whisked out of logistical reality. I'm not seeing any crazy visuals, but my mind is just very, very conscious. And I'm very connected with the beauty of being. Just everything becomes so beautiful. Light becomes beautiful. The plants in my living room become beautiful. The couch, the carpet, the most mundane things become beautiful. And creativity, you really connect with the source of creativity in this very beautiful fashion. It almost feels like you're being absorbed into the presence of the goddess of creativity. It's an amazing thing, especially if you're someone that's artistically minded and really values creativity as much as I do. And then what slowly starts to happen, hour two and hour three into my trip, is that I go deeper and deeper and deeper, and really much deeper than I thought that I would go on this trip. I was assuming this was just going to be more or less just sort of a fun, free-going sort of trip. I wasn't really expecting some deep spiritual work to happen here. But what ended up happening for me is that years of intellectual knowledge, years of insights that I talk with you about through all my videos really got realized and made tangible in the flesh during the next couple of hours. And I had some mind-blowing insights, which I have had previously on various other trips and also not on trips, just through meditation and contemplation and self-inquiry. But I got new perspectives, and I felt like I got a sense of completion with these insights because I really saw them I had enough time to really not just catch a glimpse of the insight, but really get like into the guts of it and really understand it at a deep level. So here are some of the insights that I had. Firstly is the insight of the beauty of being and just how much I miss my connection with being in everyday life. And how important that is to me. So the power of that insight was that it started to change the values and the priorities of what I pursue in everyday life. Talk about that more as we go on. Also, another important insight was the ineffability of being. A lot of my work is trying to communicate some of the beautiful and profound truths, the metaphysical existential truths that are possible for you to become conscious of. The most advanced aspects of personal development. I try to communicate that with words, with metaphors, with clever phrasing. I try to get you to do the work, the personal development work, to lay your foundation so that you can move to it. I try to program you with a vision for that so that you have something to look forward to in your work. But the beauty and profundity that I was experiencing here was so remarkable that I actually gave up trying to verbalize it, trying to symbolize it. After about an hour and a half into this trip, I realized that this is so profound and so beautiful. I'm speechless. I could spend the next couple of hours trying to write it all down in meticulous detail on a notepad, and that would actually detract me from the trip, going deeper into the trip. Or I could just surrender to it and enjoy it. And then all that I would have to tell you is, you know what? Experience it for yourself. Because if I spend 100 videos describing it to you and describing all these insights to you, it would not be anywhere near the power of actually experiencing it. That's what I call the ineffability of being. What that requires from you is to hear my words and then to say, okay, this guy is trying to talk about something that seems that's pretty profound and pretty beautiful because he's pretty passionate about it. But he's not describing it in a way that I can really, my mind can't latch onto it. And that's right, your mind can't latch onto it. But see, the important thing is that what most people do when they hear that is they say, oh yeah, that's beautiful, that's nice, and they forget about it, they go back into their old routine. What you gotta do is you gotta say, okay, I gotta actually lay the foundation, build the infrastructure to work towards having that experience of being that's being pointed at here. See? So that's something that's on you. I'm trying to share the vision with you, but you know what? After a certain point, the things that are possible to become conscious of are so extraordinary in this world that they cannot be described with words, with symbols, with speech. And that's what I experienced. That's what you need to experience. Because this experience, when you experience it, will transform the entire trajectory of your future life. Everything will change. This is not a little hallucination. This is a lot deeper than that. The next insight I had, and this was extraordinary, I got a deep, deep, deep understanding and appreciation of something called context. Context. What is context? I became conscious of the fact that my entire personal life, my existence as a human being, all my models of reality, of what we even think life is, that all of this is a construction that can only exist and feel real when it's taken out of the larger context, right? So here's how I can describe context. Right now, you're sitting there and you actually believe that you're a human being who has a personal private life and that you've been living this life for the last 20 or 30 years of your life, let's say, from the point you were born. You have a personal story of stuff that's happened to you, and that feels like it's you. That feels like reality. That feels unquestionable. If I was to come to you and to say, hey, you know what? You never lived at all. You were never born. This universe that you think you're in, what do you think? You think you're on a planet? You think you're sitting on a planet in the middle of empty, dark space, orbiting a sun which is part of a Milky Way galaxy, which is part of a larger galaxy cluster, which is part of some universe that came out of some Big Bang. That whole thing is a story. I'm serious. That whole thing is a story. Imagine for a second that all of that is a sort of context. It's a sort of framework. And that everything else that you know about life, everything else that you ever hear from me or you read in a book or you hear someone talking about or you talk about on TV or you see on TV, that any new information you get will be put into this context of, I'm a human being, I have a life, I was born into a family, and I live in a universe. It's a physical universe, and I'm part of the human species living on this solid mass of Earth rotating around the sun, and that is what reality is. But actually, that's a story. And what this psychedelic can do for you is it can reveal to you that that's a story by showing you a new context. And the new context that you will see is the context of nothingness. So when you experience nothingness, cosmic nothingness, you start to see that your life and this entire reality that we consider the scientific, hard, physical, tangible reality, the reality that science studies, that all of this is a very limited facet of reality. And it only makes sense when you forget about the larger context. This is such a crazy and mind-blowing thing to realize that there's just almost no way that you're going to realize this without a deep conscious breakthrough, either with a psychedelic or some really deep meditative work. You're not going to see this context. This context is all consuming. It's just all consuming. The entire context for your life is your life. You actually think that you're stuck in your life, that there's a birth and a death to your life. You actually believe that. And as I'm standing here, I'll be honest, I believe that too. Because right now my level of consciousness is low. I've fallen out of the very deep level of consciousness that I was at when I experienced some of these insights. But I do retain the understanding of what I saw. And now you might say, well, Leo, but what you saw was just a hallucination, just a chemical coursing through your brain. No, you see, brain is a context. You actually have a story in your mind that says that all of this reality is happening in your brain. You have a story that tells you you have a brain. You understand that that's a context? And that you interpret everything I say through that context unwittingly, completely unwittingly. You take all this for granted. You don't even have an inkling of a clue of what context really means, because you've actually never consciously exited the context and seen the larger perspective. When you see the larger perspective, it puts into proper context the little context that you currently think and call reality. And in this larger context, the brain, it's not the primary thing. Newton's laws, they're not the primary thing. History, humanity, all the social structures that humanity has constructed, science, all these things fly out the window like they never even mattered, like they're just figments, like they're just like something airy and intangible, like, I don't know, like cotton candy, right? Like cotton candy just melts when you stick your tongue on it. So going on with this, this was starting to get to the peak of my experience about 3 hours into it. I became deeply conscious that everything in reality is groundless. There is no ground for anything. and it's a little hard to describe to you what that means precisely. How would I describe it? Groundlessness. Every object is groundless. You might think like, well, but, you know, Leo, aren't we standing right now on the earth? So that's sort of a grounding. No, because what is the earth grounded upon? You might say, well, it's sort of grounded upon like the vacuum of empty space. But what's the vacuum of empty space grounded upon? What's space grounded upon? Space itself is a context. Time is a context. You see, you actually believe that things are happening in time and in space. These things will be revealed to you as empty contexts. Minor context. There's a larger context at work. That's the context of nothingness. You start to see that everything is made of nothing. That reality is a collection of surfaces. Surface after surface after surface after surface, but every surface ends ultimately in nothing. And you might say, well, Leo, how do you know that? The amazing thing that becomes possible with these psychedelics is that your mind literally taps into infinite perspective capacity. You can actually have a stream of thoughts that goes through to infinity. So it's in a sense, what you can do is you can sort of logically think about a thing. Like you can look at your hand and you can think about it and you can think like, oh, this is my hand and it's made out of cells. And what are those cells made out of? Oh, well, like molecules. And what are those made out of? Like atoms. And what are those made out of? Oh, well, some strings or something. But you can see through all of that. You can see through all the scientific paradigms that you have. All of those just sort of melt away and your mind just looks through all of it and it gets to the rock bottom of what there is, which is nothing. You see that your hand is made out of nothing. And you look around the room and you see that the whole room is made out of nothing. And then your brain and yourself just sort of spills out through your skull. And there is no more you anymore. This was ego death. So I experienced this ego death. I was very surprised that I was able to experience ego death on such a relatively small dose of sort of a party psychedelic. But you have to understand that I've had some breakthroughs with 5-MeO, which have shaped all my other psychedelic experiences that I have from now on. You have to also understand that I've been metaphysically inquiring into the nature of reality for a long, long time, and that my intent is very strong about this. I really care about knowing what reality is on an existential level, not to manipulate it, but just for the sake of knowing it. I actually care about truth. People that don't care about this, well, they'll probably need a massive dose of psychedelics to experience ego death. And maybe not even then. And even if they do experience, they won't even understand what they're experiencing. They won't have a deeper context to put it in. I've been studying this stuff for years. So when I see something in my psychedelic experience, I know exactly what that is. I'm like, oh yeah, that's ego death right there. That's nothingness right there. That's infinity right there. That's context. That's some other thing that I read about, that's something else, that's something, oh yeah, of course, that's what the Buddhists talk about, that's what the Hindus talk about, that's what the shamans talk about, oh yeah, that's what Carlos Castaneda was talking about, oh yeah, that's what, this happened, it's all interconnects, like it's all very transparent. It's amazing. So anyways, I have this ego death and it's just sort of like I spill out. My sense of self spills out from inside me, as it were. I mean, there's nothing inside me, but it just sort of, it feels like you're spilling out into the space in front of you, and you sort of become the space. But the space is hollow, and it's just surfaces, right? You can take one object, cut it in half, it's just more surfaces. Cut that in half, more surfaces, more surfaces, more surfaces. You can keep cutting objects in half to infinity, and all you'll get is just surfaces. And in the end, the deep truth there is that the surfaces are afloat in a sea of nothingness. This nothingness is the consciousness or the substance that makes up all of reality. Reality is not made out of molecules. It's made out of nothingness. That's the substance. This nothingness is conscious and aware. It's what renders all of reality. Your brain is not rendering reality. Your mind is not rendering reality. Your body is not rendering reality. That's just sort of a limited illusion, which quickly gets shattered once your context expands. And then a really amazing thing that I stumbled upon, this was just extraordinary, was that I had a realization that my sense of reality got disrupted so much that I realized in a flash, I realized that there is no difference between enlightenment and insanity. And that what we call reality is just a set of conventions. It's a set of conventions. It's a specific dilation of consciousness, sort of like you have a radio station and it can tune to different frequencies, and there might be 100 different frequencies. Well, what we call reality, the stuff that science studies, the stuff you learn about in physics and math class and in chemistry and biology, what that is, that's one band on an entire spectrum. One band. Which is why science struggles with consciousness work. And science struggles to understand and make sense of some of these spiritual truths, because science is committed to this one band. It's a consensus reality. It's not a physical reality. It's a consensus reality. And let me describe what I mean by insanity. So here's the thing. When I had my deep, sort of horrifying, traumatizing mushroom trip, which happened after my big, massive 5-MeO breakthrough. The reason the mushroom trip was so horrifying was because I reached a point at the peak of that trip where I realized that I felt like I was going insane and totally losing all sense of reality. Like, imagine for a moment if you stop believing that you're a human being. Like, for real. You stop believing you're a human being. You stop believing that reality is real, that it exists. You stop believing in history. You stop believing you were born. You stop believing that you came out of your mother's vagina. You stop believing you have parents. You stop believing that you have a life. You stop believing in death. You stop believing in physical science. When that kind of degree of mind-blowingness hits you, your ego is going to recoil in horror, because it will feel like you've gone insane. Because here's the fear. You're going to come up with this sort of doubt where it's going to be like, wait a minute. Have I completely just lost all sense of reality? I don't believe in reality anymore. I don't believe in reality anymore. You laugh at reality. It becomes so insubstantial. Of course, this is a problem for you because you spent your whole life really buying into reality. So this is very jarring for your mind. And your mind realizes, wait a minute, I'm going insane. I'm actually going insane. This is not a joke. Wait a minute. Like, I am going insane. And when you're in these psychedelic experiences, they tend to be very forceful, and you're so present in the moment that you might believe that you're insane forever. It might feel to you like, wait a minute, now this is just how it's going to be. I'm going to be insane. It feels like you can't even, there's no common reference point with anyone in your life anymore. You can't talk to your parents anymore. Nothing will make sense. Imagine coming up to your parents and saying that reality doesn't exist, they don't exist, and you don't exist, and that there's no death. Of course, they would think you're crazy. But imagine if you actually believed that was real. That might be scary to you, because you might care about how they perceive you. And this fear of insanity will probably push you back into consensus reality. And what you'll do, and what I read a lot of people in their trip reports, what they experience is that I think they reach the brink of insanity, but then they're not willing to actually accept it as truth. And they step back into consensus reality. And that insanity horrifies them, because they actually think that if they go past the edge, that they will go insane. Now, maybe they will. I don't know. Personally, for me, I don't go insane. But I have. So during my first mushroom, that deep mushroom trip. No, it wasn't my first. It was my first after 5-MeO. During that mushroom trip, the reason it was so horrifying was because I hit that brink of insanity, and it horrified me so much that I fell back into consensus reality. And because the mushrooms are so goddamn twisted, that I didn't know what it was exactly. I just knew it was some scary, insane shit. And so I fell back and I resisted it. Here, on AL Lad, my thoughts were clear. And I've grown. In the last 6 months since that trip, I've grown a lot. And I've worked through some of my fears. And basically what I did is I said, you know, fuck it. If I'm going insane, I'm going insane. And I surrender to the insanity. And I actually felt like I went insane. And that was it. That there was no coming back. That no one would ever understand me. And I realized that that's really what enlightenment is you completely lose all sense of reality. What you would call conventional reality, what the average person on the street calls reality, that's it. It's gone. It's never coming back. Like, it's that fucking deep. It's that mind-shattering. And of course, you can see why this terrifies you so much. Sometimes people on the forum post questions like, well, I've been self-inquiring or meditating, and sometimes I have this deep existential terror that comes up. Yeah, of course, because you're on a journey to become insane. Now, of course, you're going to be insanely functional, which means you will be insane, but you will be fully functional after enlightenment. In fact, you'll be more functional than the average person. What you have to understand is that insanity is also a social convention, and that insanity is also a context. A funny thing happens when you become insane and actually break through insanity and go beyond insanity, what I call beyond insanity. When you go beyond insanity, you realize that actually you've kind of gone full circle. Black turns into white, white turns into black, up turns into down, down turns into up, left turns into right, and right turns into left. So what the conventional mind calls insanity turns into sanity. And the conventional mind, which we call sanity, becomes insanity. And that's a pretty cool insight to have. I was really pleased that I was able to break through that and to really get a full understanding of this insanity issue, because I felt like I failed to have that insight during the mushroom trip. And here it actually clicked for me. That was amazing. And then after that, you know, once you become insane, everything is fine. It's not a problem. You just realize that you can't communicate this stuff verbally to people. That's why we call it non-symbolic. Non-symbolic experience. And that's why everythingactualized.org teaches you is really pathetic. All my words, all my fancy insights, all the labor I go through to record all these notes and to study all these books and then to come up here and to explain all this stuff in hour-long episodes. I mean, this is what's insanity, really. It's insanity because this stuff is so shallow and so just like it pales in comparison to non-symbolic experience of higher consciousness. You are in a new reality. You are in a new universe. Paradigms that you couldn't even imagine were shattered. And it's ineffable. It's wordless. It's incredible. This is advanced personal development. This is where it's at. So I experienced that. And then the last deep insight that I had was that I started to experience tastes of the infinite. Sort of like I did on 5-MeO, but not as strong. And I remember I was standing in my bathroom. I had to go to pee. Standing in my bathroom. And I just sort of realized that this entire room that I'm standing in is afloat in a sea of nothingness. It doesn't exist. I don't exist. Reality doesn't exist. Reality is not real. And I felt this weird, it's hard to describe, this weird feeling of like I was standing inside of an Escher painting. M.C. Escher, he paints those weird, twisted, sort of like geometrical paintings of rooms that have like different dimensions being depicted simultaneously, like the room is being seen simultaneously from different angles. That's what I felt like. That's what infinity sort of feels like to me. It's almost like I can see myself and the room and all of reality from a multitude of angles simultaneously. And it's not a visual phenomenon so much as it's just consciousness. Your consciousness becomes aware of infinity. And there are various degrees of this. So I had a taste of that, and it just like totally blew my mind. I love it. Tasting infinity, it's maddening for sure. If you are not a metaphysical junkie, it'll freak the shit out of you probably. And that's why some people report some really horrific trips, I think, because they're not ready for this stuff. But if you love this stuff, if you're philosophically minded, if you really want to get to the truth of what life is, what humanity is, what spirituality is, what personal development is all about, what consciousness is, what enlightenment is, you'll love this stuff. It's amazing. It's amazing. And there's really nothing to be afraid of. So the amazing thing with psychedelics is that you can work to any fears you have bad trips, that's stuff that needs to be purged. That's stuff that needs to be worked on. That's not something that's bad about psychedelics. Those are the psychedelics revealing in you the impurities, the spiritual impurities that you have. I've been working quite hard over the last 6 months on many of my spiritual impurities with the help of psychedelics, of course. 5-MeO helped me a lot there, made me a lot more loving in ways that would be utterly impossible without 5-MeO. And I can tell you that definitely it has prepared me for this smooth trip that I had here and the depth of this trip. If I gave this AL ad to you, to an average person who doesn't meditate, doesn't self-inquire, isn't interested in philosophy or metaphysics, doesn't study personal development, doesn't do any consciousness work, hasn't worked for years on his fears and anxieties, hasn't worked on becoming more loving, doesn't understand what reality is about, even in theory, let alone in practice, doesn't understand notions of like unconditional love and raising consciousness and so forth, doesn't and has never heard about such things as context and paradigm shifts and all these sorts of things, what they would do is they would take the substance, they would go watch some cartoons, they would drink some beer, they would smoke some weed, they would maybe have some fun or maybe have some horrific memories come up from their childhood or whatever. If they were bad, they would want to run away from them. They maybe might go driving with their friends around the city and just have fun and laugh and do all this kind of stupid shit. And then they would come back into ordinary reality and they would think that they had a fun time and it was just a cool thing that they did with their friends over the weekend. But that is a totally different thing than what I experience here. Just like night and day. Night and day. You have to realize that the psychedelic really is your mind reflecting in on itself. So the quality of mind that you bring to it makes an enormous difference. Enormous difference. The placebo effect, the self-fulfilling prophecy effect is huge here. So it really matters. And that was my trip. Lasted for about 6 to 8 hours in full strength, and then it sort of quickly tapered off after there, and by about 10 to 12 hours, I was back. Let me talk about some of the lasting effects I had from this trip. That was some of the peak stuff that I experienced. A lot of that is difficult to bring back. So even though I'm talking about it here, I'm not directly in contact with that sort of consciousness right now as I'm standing here in my everyday life. But there have been some important lasting effects. Firstly, is that I really got a deep, meaningful understanding, and I think I surrendered to the notion that words and analysis is pointless. It's really futile when you're doing consciousness work. I saw just how little my words and my analysis and my logical understanding and my reading of all this stuff really is. Now, all that said, it's still important because, again, it creates the foundation. Once you have the foundation, then it's very easy to say, oh, yeah, all the words and analysis and all the book reading, all that is pointless. But see, if I didn't have that, my whole trip would have probably gone in a very different direction. So it's not pointless in that sense. It's pointless in the sense that once you've climbed to the top of the building, then you can throw away the ladder in that sort of sense. And also in the sense that for me, when I'm finding my balance between theory and practice, what this trip communicated to me was that I don't need as much theory anymore. I've got a lot of theory. I've got years of theory. Now what I need is I need a lot more direct consciousness practice. And that really resonated with me in a powerful way because I knew that already, but I knew it on a theoretical level. And now what happened is that I knew it on a practical level. And that makes all the difference because the practical level is where you get your results. That's where your life transforms. I also had the deep realization that I really have no desire for consensus reality. I crossed that threshold of insanity and I made my peace with it. And now that I'm back, I feel lighter. I feel lighter in that I'm not taking reality as seriously anymore. And it feels like that's something that's kind of, that's soaked through into my everyday life. I have less need to please people. I feel like I have less need to want to achieve stuff in this consensus reality because I can see the illusion of it. And also how deeply unfulfilling consensus reality is compared to being, compared to higher consciousness states. Also, another lasting effect was I felt a deep shift in my core values. And what I felt was that I'm really starting to get a thirst for deep consciousness work. Like this is on a very practical, not just on a theoretical, intellectual, sort of idealistic level, but on a very practical level, it feels like this is my new purpose. My purpose is evolving. And that my purpose is starting to move away from a career-centered purpose, from revolving around actualize.org, and really just getting to the existential metaphysical nature of reality. Because it's just so goddamn fulfilling. And it's so amazing. And that everything else just pales in comparison to that. And so one of the consequences of this shift in my values and priorities is that I'm working more now on that. My life is changing how I live, what I'm pursuing. My goals are changing. And I'm clinging a lot less to materialism. I'm less concerned about success, business success, earning money, that sort of stuff. That's all falling by the wayside in a very palpable way. I've gotten a lot more serious about my meditation practice. I'm spending more time meditating and doing it deeper and taking it up more seriously and really putting my intent into it because now I'm becoming really passionate about it because once you start to feel these effects, meditation, it's no longer just you sitting on a couch relaxing. It's really something extraordinary. Every time you sit down to meditate, you have the possibility of actually changing all of reality. Not just to relax and blow off some steam, but to change the very structure of reality. That's an amazing place to get to. That makes me very excited. Makes me very glad that I started to meditate 3 or 4 years ago, whatever I did, I can't remember anymore. Also, I felt a difference in my body energy. I always generally feel this chronic fatigue. I don't feel comfortable in my body, like I said before, but something shifted in me where I kind of got in touch with it. It's almost like the AL ad showed me how my body is supposed to feel, and now I've sort of carried over some of that, and I even feel it right now as I'm standing here. So that's actually been a very remarkable thing, because that's something I've been struggling with for a long time, been going to doctors and so forth for that, and it actually feels like psychedelics could have potential to cure chronic fatigue, which is an interesting avenue for curing chronic fatigue that I haven't seen discussed anywhere else. Which is not to say that they will cure all chronic fatigue. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying that might be a possibility for me because chronic fatigue tends to be a very complicated and messy situation. It's a lot of different causes that are involved with it. I also saw, as one of my takeaways, I saw just how much I am still caught in monkey mind throughout the day and how much my monkey mind prevents me from being and how much it puts me into the logistical, materialistic world. And that needs to stop. And I'm going to work really hard over the next year to put that to an end. Because that's going to be a huge transformation in the quality of my life and how I relate to everything in this reality. It's when I am able to tame that monkey mind for real, and I'm really motivated to work harder towards that. One of the traps I fall into, because my work is very conceptual, I come up here, I analyze stuff, is that I get caught in monkey mind very easily. It's hard to shut off the conceptual mind. There's an addiction to it. And that was revealed to me. I generally have a very deep sense of peace now after the whole experience, because I feel like I sort of faced death. I've overcame it. I faced my fear of insanity. A lot of fears were sort of faced, but they weren't very fearful. The trip overall was 99% positive. There was very little fear. I never felt like I was out of control with my mind or anything like that. I felt like everything, just all the obstacles sort of melted before me. And, you know, maybe in other trips it won't be that way. I'm sure there will be more fears that come up. But for now, I felt like some fears were vanquished in a permanent manner, or at least reduced. And I feel lighter in everyday life. And also, I feel like I'm more open now to my life unfolding in a natural way and going wherever it's going to go without needing to micromanage it and to worry about it the way I tend to worry about it. Thinking about, like, oh, well, in my future, you know, next year I need to do this, and then I need to do this and get in a relationship, and then maybe they get married and have kids and this and that, and all this planning and all these logistics. And when you really get deeply in touch with being and with consciousness, you let that stuff go and you just say, you know what? It's more fun, more interesting just to see where life takes me. And I think that's a very healthy thing, at least for me. Some of you need more structure in your life. I probably need less. Okay, so let's quickly talk about what are the lessons here for you. I talked about my lessons. Your lessons are that psychedelics are a powerful tool when used properly, extremely powerful. Don't let people fool you. Don't let government propaganda and other people's stupid trip reports written by fucking teenagers who don't know what they're doing, who are using these psychedelics while watching cartoons while they're stoned and drunk. Don't let all those experiences tarnish these beautiful substances. Their potential is extraordinary. Extraordinary. One solid, deep trip on one of these substances is worth 100 of my videos. I'm not kidding. All this talking that I do, it's just not getting through to you. That's one of my deepest frustrations with this work, is that the things that I really know and have experienced, I can never communicate to you. Ever. Ever. That's why I just wish I could just, like, stick some LSD into your mouth, because it'll do a whole lot better job explaining things than I ever will. Some other lessons for you is that ALAD is an excellent newbie psychedelic. I've been looking for a while now for a psychedelic that can be used to introduce newbies. This needs to be a mild psychedelic that's mellow, that's consistent, that's easy to dose, doesn't have complicated instructions, doesn't have complicated smoking methods and procedures that people get wrong, especially newbies. Which isn't traumatic and doesn't have too big of a mind fuck. Well, I think ALAD is really excellent in that regard. Also, ALAD is excellent as a post-5-MeO breakthrough companion psychedelic. So after you've had your major 5-MeO breakthrough, or maybe you have a breakthrough on some other psychedelic like DMT or something else, ALAD is beautiful because it gives you a long time to sit there and have sort of relive the peak experiences, but not have them be so strong, but relive them in a more sustainable way and actually integrate them deeper into your life, which matters a lot. So I think that that's a very powerful combo that can be experimented with. Another lesson here is that don't underestimate party drugs. People who use drugs to party, they don't know what they're missing. Just because it's a party drug doesn't mean you can't have ego death on it. Doesn't mean you can't use it for very deep spiritual work. Because clearly this was one of my this was one of the trips that I took that has got me the most just, I felt practical growth. The 5-MeO trips were incredible. And they also got me some practical growth. But here I felt like I integrated so much stuff because it was just the right amount of power and length and mellowness. So all that stuff matters. I would caution you not to use these substances more than once a week. Give yourself plenty of time for integration. I really learned from this experience that integration is so critical. And that ideally, if you're going to be tripping on Saturday, spend the entire next day on Sunday just silently contemplating and meditating, journaling, and integrating the experience. Don't be rushing back to work. It's not very good. You're losing most of the growth. Most of the growth happens when you come back down to earth, into this consensus reality. And now you have to live here and do all the ordinary stuff. And if you want to transform this reality, you need a bridge. The bridge is the integration period. Spend time on that if you really care about using these substances for growth, and not just for recreation or just to get your kicks. Also, another lesson for you here is that intentions are extremely important. Why are you doing this? What do you want out of your trip? And purifying yourself is very important. Are you actually doing the hard work in your everyday life to make your trips as powerful as possible? Are you spending months in meditation, journaling, contemplating, visualizing, working on yourself, laying the infrastructure, and all of that stuff? Honing your intent. Intent is just not something like, oh, okay, I'm going to take a psychedelic today, so I'm just going to have an intent for it to be a nice trip. That's not intent. What I'm talking about is that you spend a month before you take the psychedelic, you spend building the intent, a deep desire for what? For accessing some metaphysical truth, or for healing some aspect of yourself, or for understanding something. That shows that you're doing this with a serious intent. In the sort of Carlos Castaneda, Don Juan vein. If you have read the Carlos Castaneda books, which I recommend you read, study them very closely. They're especially valuable to read if you're experimenting with psychedelics and you really care about using them in a shamanistic sort of way, because you can see there that Don Juan guides Carlos Castaneda and tells him all these important principles about how the psychedelics are used to actually grow yourself, to transform yourself. He has a lot of rituals around how he uses the psychedelics. They give themselves a lot of time before and after the trip. They talk about everything, right? Carlos Castaneda writes everything down. It's all analyzed. It's connected with the other theory and frameworks that they have. So when you do your psychedelic trips, connect it to the stuff that I talk about. Connect it to the stuff you've read in all sorts of spirituality books. That's where this stuff really gets juicy. Your results will completely depend on the kind of seriousness and intent that you put into this work. You're going to get what you give. All right, that's it. Kind of long, but there's a lot to cover here. So I'm signing off. Please click the like button for me. Post your comments down below. Share this episode with a friend. And lastly, come check out actualize.org right here. My website, there's a forum there. Life Purpose Course is there. My recommended books list is there. My new blog is there. I'm posting new stuff on my blog. Go check it out. It's got a lot of spiritual and psychedelic related topics, and I'm going to keep pumping stuff out that's going to be very eye-opening and very interesting, stuff that I can't share with my videos. But sign up to the newsletter and just stick around with actualize.org. Make a commitment that this is not just a video you watch. This is your commitment to self-actualize. You have the vision to transform yourself. You know that it's possible. You see people talking about it. You intuit that there's something deeper for you in life, that there's something deeper to reality, and that you're willing to put your money where your mouth is and roll up your sleeves and get to work. And the most important thing that you need to work on especially if you resonated with this topic, is your mindfulness ability. Build your foundation for mindfulness, because the future topics that I talk about, the advanced topics, the stuff I've been talking about here, you're not going to understand any of this without a deep foundation of mindfulness. Start building it. I have a video called Mindfulness Meditation. Go search for it, find it, watch it a couple of times, start practicing it. This is the number one soft infrastructure that you can build for the advanced work. Mindfulness practice. Mindfulness practice is not just some airy-fairy, waffly New Age word. It's a specific set of techniques that actually develops your ability to have awareness of your sensational field, your feelings, your emotions, your sights and sounds, so that you can deconstruct them all, so you can see what's happening in real time in a way that you never imagined possible. This takes work. This takes years of practice. Start building it now, and I'll see you soon with more advanced.